We will go through the memory verses of last week. Last week it was Jude 1:24. Jude 1:24. God is able to keep you. Say with me. God is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of His glory, blameless with great joy. Let's say that again. God is able to keep you. You can personalize it. You can say, God is able to keep me. God is able to keep me from stumbling and to make me stand in the presence of His glory, blameless with great joy. Jude 1:24. And today's verse is Romans 12:16. Romans 12:16. This is a command. Be of the same mind. Say that with me. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Let's say that again. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Romans 12:16. Yeah. We now hear God's word from Brother Newton.
You know, it is God's will that we as the children should be strong in the Lord. You know, there are many ways by which we can be strong, but I want to focus on one particular way by which we can be strong in the Lord. And I got one more memory verse for you this morning. It's a well-known verse in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. This is a verse that we should never forget in a Christian life. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, the last verse. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That's a wonderful scripture verse that can change your life. You know how you can be strong in the Lord? If you have the joy of the Lord 24/7. Like we say, taste and see that the Lord is good. And I also want to say this morning, experience this verse in your life, brothers and sisters. One of the sad things that I've experienced in my life is to meet many believers who are sad and gloomy and depressed and discouraged. And I want to say, that is not God's will for us. And I want to consider this morning how we can have the joy of the Lord. And we should not only get hold of the joy of the Lord, you know what we should do? We should maintain the joy every day in our life. That's what will change our lives. Not, see, some people are happy once in a while, but joy is completely different. I want to quickly go through many verses this morning. To begin with, again a well-known verse in Luke chapter 10. Some of you want to write down these references, you can write down so that you can remember. Sorry, I couldn't project it on the screen today. And in Luke chapter 10, verse 20, you know, Jesus gave power to the disciples and the demons were subject to them and they got excited. And then Jesus said, don't rejoice that the spirits are subject to you. Verse 20, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. Like one godly brother said, simple obedience to God's word will change your life. And I want to recommend this verse to all of you brothers and sisters. I have a fear that many of us are not valuing our salvation. We are not thankful for our salvation. And we are not rejoicing that our names are written in the book of heaven. And Jesus himself said, don't get excited that the spirits are subject to you. But he said, rejoice. That's a command. In other words, that's a good command. Lord, I was a sinner, but you loved me, you forgave me, you cleansed me, you washed me, you accepted me in the beloved, and you written my name in the book of heaven. If I can say it in today's language, brothers and sisters, we should get excited that our name is written in the book of heaven, just like all the children, they get excited when they get admission in school and college. And even those who are engaged, they get excited. They're going to be married soon. And the same way, I believe, we should be excited that our name is in the book of life. My sins are all forgiven. And I'm justified by the blood of Jesus. And I don't know why not so many are excited about that. I believe that's good enough reason. Like we sing in that song. That's enough to make me shout and sing. Oh, may God give us the grace to rejoice in our salvation. And not only in our salvation, in Psalm 16 it says, you know, there are many pleasures we have in this world. They give us some happiness. You know, there's a difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is external, joy is internal. Happiness is an emotion and a feeling. It comes and goes, but joy remains. Happiness depends on the circumstances. For example, you eat ice cream, chocolate, and biryani, you're happy. But joy is not dependent on food. You get a promotion. You're going to get married. You're happy. But joy has got nothing to do with the circumstances. Joy is rooted in God. And Psalm 16, verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. And I believe Jesus has come to dwell in our hearts, and that's where we are the presence of God. And when we come together, we experience the presence of God in a richer way. And that's why I believe it's good to keep our hearts clean, and think if all of us can bring the presence of God, how wonderful the meeting will be. We ourselves will experience a fullness of joy. And it also says in Psalm 100, you know how we have to come to the church? Verse 1, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all nations. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Some of you brothers and sisters are quiet. I want to say, you're not obeying God's word, and that's why you're not so happy. The more you obey God's word, you'll be happy. Come before his presence with singing, with gladness. And not only that, you know, the Lord, when he comes into our hearts, he brings the kingdom of God, or we can say the garment of God. And you know, once the garment of God comes upon your life, your life is no longer the same. You know, Jesus, when he controls your life, when he begins to rule your life, you know what you get in Romans chapter 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness. You get the righteousness of Christ and the peace of Christ and joy in the Holy Spirit. I like that verse. You know, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, there's joy. On the day of Pentecost, they thought these people were drunk. They said they are full of new wine. They were so happy. And I believe as God's people, we ought to be very, very joyful. And if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, I want to exhort you this morning, desperately seek the Lord until you're filled with the Spirit. And I remember a sister testifying, a sister who was with us many years ago. She's no more now. She's gone to be with the Lord. She said before she was baptized in the Holy Spirit, she was pretty gloomy. And I saw her after she was baptized in the Holy Spirit. She was full of joy. If I can use that word, exuberant she was. Yeah, I never forget. Always so full of joy. And it says again in Acts chapter 13, verse 52, we see a picture of testimony of God's people. It says here, the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll be filled with joy. And I believe God's looking for a Spirit-filled church. Spirit-filled brothers and sisters. I want to ask you this morning, are you contributing to the joy of the church? And you know what Jesus said in John chapter 15? You know, there's one more interesting thing. We read in the scriptures, John chapter 15. Verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you. What a wonderful thing to have the joy of Jesus remaining in us. And that your joy might be full. And chapter 16. Verse 24. Hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Is your joy full this morning? Otherwise you need to see God. And in John chapter 17, the Lord prayed. Verse 13. And now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. That is the clear command, or not command, it's clear will of God, clear desire of Jesus, that we should have the joy of Jesus. And it's wonderful to have such a joy. And Peter, who followed the Lord, was so excited by this. He wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. No, verse 8. Whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him, not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. This is our calling, brothers and sisters. It's a lovely verse. You and I have not seen the Lord, yet we love him. We have not seen him, yet we believe. And that's the mark of a person who has faith. You know, many people live by feelings. The weather is good, they're happy. The weather is cloudy, oh, they say, oh, I'm feeling dull, brother. That is to live by feelings. As feelings come and go, one day you feel nothing, heavy for nothing. It doesn't mean you've got to be heavy. It says here, you're in heaviness. Sometimes one can be heavy, but I want to say this morning that that is not from God. All heaviness is not from God. God wants to fill us with joy, fill us with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, verse 6. It says in another translation, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness. Are you in heaviness this morning? I want to say that's not from the Lord. Sometimes we feel heavy, but you can shake it off and say, Lord, I believe in you. As I said, happiness is a feeling. Joy is not a feeling. Joy is because of a deep faith in God, because of my connection with Jesus. And our calling is to have joy unspeakable. Have you met brothers and sisters like that who can say, God's made me so happy, brother. Full of glory. And I want to say this morning, that's our birthright, our privilege for all of us. It's up to you to appropriate and claim it. Okay. And you know, another reason why we rejoice in the Lord? See, Philippians chapter 4. It's a wonderful chapter. It says here, rejoice in the Lord always. Verse 4. And again I say rejoice. And some of you may say, brother, I don't feel like rejoicing. And I want to say this morning, it's got nothing to do with your feelings. Do you go to work when you feel like? How many of you go to work when you feel like? Otherwise, you don't, maybe you don't feel like going to work often. Whether you feel like or not, whether it's raining or not, you go to work. All the children. Yeah, I know many times they don't feel like going to the school. But like all the parents drag them and send them to school. Because I think that's the right thing to do. And, you know, we rejoice in the Lord because of His unconditional love. His love is unchanging and is not dependent on our performance. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, Ephesians 2:30, He loved the great love He loved us. And I believe God's word. He's already loved me. And I rejoice in His love, like it says in Zephaniah chapter 3. He rejoices over us with shouts of joy. And therefore I rejoice in Him. And I rejoice in His unchanging promises, His unfailing word. And I rejoice because God is sovereign. He's controlling all the circumstances. He's on the throne. He knows what's happening to me daily. And I rejoice because He's full of mercy and goodness. And we worship a God who's faithful. And He's a loving Father. So joy is independent of circumstances. You know, joy is a choice you make. It's an exercise of your will. You know, what is our calling in New Covenant? You can't live by emotion. You can't live by feeling. You can't live by what's happening to you. But we choose to do God's will. And that's where you can learn to rejoice in all circumstances. See, for example, in the Old Covenant, David, he had a great walk with the Lord. And David said in Psalm 34, or before that, Psalm 27. There's something new I noticed. Psalm 27. Verse 6. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle. There's a unique expression that is almost never found in the Bible. Sacrifice of joy. I will sing praise unto the Lord. You know what is the sacrifice of joy? Whether you feel like or not, you praise the Lord. That is a sacrifice of joy. And you keep on doing like that afterwards, you feel like praising the Lord. You know, like we say, faith, fact, and then feeling. Not feeling, fact, and faith. And so, David learned to offer the sacrifice of joy. And Psalm 34, here he says, he was in a very pretty bad circumstance. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. And I want to say, brothers and sisters, I don't know what circumstance you're going through. If you exercise your will and say, Lord, you're on the throne. Your love is great and unchanging. Your promise is unchanging. So I will praise the Lord. Like some of the translations says, anyhow, no matter what happens. And you know that another favorite expression we read in Habakkuk. There's a lovely expression there. Many of us know that it's a well-known verse. Habakkuk chapter 3. It says verse 17, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall be fruit in the vine, the labor olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stall. And it ain't yet. I will rejoice in the Lord. If I can paraphrase that verse for today, though there's not much money in the bank, though I'm not having enough stock of food for the month, though I'm having so much of family problems, and probably many trials, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. That's the spiritual man. He's not dependent on his circumstances. He's not dependent on his feeling. He has faith in God. And you know, for example, Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians, I believe Paul was beaten and chained and he was thrown into a cold, damp, dark cell. And, you know, in that condition, Paul is talking, writing a letter to the Philippians. Have the mind of Christ. My goal is to somehow be like Jesus. I want to lay hold of my calling, why Jesus called me. And you, brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord always. He was not thinking of himself. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, dear brothers and sisters. In all our trials, we always think about ourselves. Lord, why this me? Lord, get me out of this soon. But Paul knew God put him in the prison also with a circle, with a reason, with a purpose. And so Paul could rejoice in the Lord and not be occupied, not have self-pity. And he was thinking of the welfare of the Philippians. Oh, I want to have such an attitude of mind. Like Joseph. When Joseph was thrown in the prison, he was not having self-pity. He was so cheerful. And he said, you fellows, why are you sad? I feel like saying that this morning. Brothers and sisters, are you sad this morning? Learn to rejoice in the Lord. Learn to have a relationship with the Lord. And, you know, it's wonderful to come into a relationship with the Lord. And then, it's a greater thing even to maintain the joy. See, some people know. You see them when they're saved, they're happy. You see them after some time, they're not so happy. It's like all people who get married. When they get married, they're happy. See them after some time, they say, oh, brother, I got children. And, you know, that's not a good marriage. I want to tell you this morning how you can maintain the joy of the Lord. You turn with me back to Nehemiah chapter 8. Where we began, Nehemiah chapter 8. You know, during Nehemiah's time, there was tremendous revival. They gathered together and they read God's word. You know, from morning till afternoon. Today many are saying, oh brother, the meeting is long. But here, they were just reading the Bible. That to the Old Testament. No commentary, no living Bible, you know, no paraphrase. And they were all standing. And it says here, and the ears of all the people were attentive. Oh, they had a hunger and thirst for God's word. And verse 6, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen. Some of you think that I am trying to teach you to say Amen. The Old Testament, they said Amen, Amen, when Ezra spoke. And I think we need to change our attitude. And, you know, when a brother shares the word, don't give him a blanket Amen. You know, I really appreciate the Pentecost for that. They keep saying Amen, Hallelujah. In other words, they are with the preacher, the speaker. And you see, they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord. And then it says they wept when they heard the word of God. Verse 9. What an attitude they had. They were hungry for the word of God. They were thirsty. And they paid attention to the word of God. And they wept. And then they repented. They confessed their sins. And you know, if you read chapter 10, verse 9. They consecrated their lives to God and say, Lord, we don't want to forsake the house of God. And they made a covenant. And not only they made a covenant, and then they gave themselves to the Lord, to the Lord's work. And it says here, they helped in the dedication of the temple. And then verse 43, it says here, they offered great sacrifice and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. And I hope all the sisters and the children are listening. Here it says, the wives also. I wish I can hear an amen from all the wives. And the children rejoiced. What a wonderful church. You sisters, you're keeping quiet. I want to say, here, the wives rejoice, the children rejoice, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. You know, I believe The true way to have continual joy is have a hunger for God's word. You know, David says, it says in Psalm 119:162, I rejoice in your word as one who finds great spoil. You know, when you learn to rejoice in God, rejoice in God's word, and let God's word work in you, have a soft and a tender and a good and a honest heart. And then you separate from the world, all worldly ways, and get rid of all sin in your life. I want to say this morning, then you will have the joy of the Lord, which is not superficial. Like people say, smile. Having joy in the Lord is not just smiling, brothers and sisters. We sing in a song, joy like a fountain. And another thing I like in this verse is, God made them rejoice. Nehemiah 12:43. I want to ask you this morning, has the Lord made you rejoice? You know, some people are trying to rejoice in the Lord. That's not the way. It's just this, God made them rejoice. I hope you'll go home and say, Lord, you make me rejoice. You do this work in me, Lord, so that it is spontaneous, so that it is not dependent on circumstances, and so that others also can see, this brother is so happy in the Lord. And I believe that's a good testimony for all of us to commit, Lord, I want to have the joy of the Lord always, so that all my friends and neighbors, everyone can see. Okay. And you know how you can maintain the joy of the Lord? Number 4. You know, the big problem we have is, in the meeting we have the joy of the Lord, but when we have trials and difficulties, for example, all those are happy. Suddenly when the trials and difficulties come, the happiness disappears. But not if you're a Christian. The joy of the Lord will never disappear. In the midst of all the trials, you can rejoice. For example, in James 1:2. My brothers and sisters, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, and that is from Monday to Saturday, knowing that the trying of your faith works patience. Oh, when we have trials, don't lose your focus on God and God's word and God's love. Don't say, why this is happening to me? That is to be an ignorant Christian. To be a true Christian is to say, yeah, this is necessary for me. And like one brother said, this is only testing. Like we say, mic testing. I'm just taking the sound. And same with the Lord is testing of faith. And we pass the test in every trial. And then you have greater joy in the midst of the trial. Oh, how wonderful. Like it says in Psalm 84, passing through the valley of Baca, still they have joy. It's a spring coming forth. And that's to be a better Christian. To be a tested Christian. To be tested and tested and tested. And say, no, I will still cling on to my faith in God, who's sovereign. His love will never fail. His word will never fail. And I go through the trial with joy. You know, it says in Colossians 1:11. That's why we need strength. It says here, verse 11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, and to all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Have you met some people like that? Yeah, they have many trials, but they are joyful in the Lord. And oh, may God give us grace to not to depend on feelings and emotions and circumstances, but have deep joy in the Lord. And I want to say one more thing this morning. Matthew 25:21-23. When you are faithful in small things, you will have the joy of the Lord. Jesus said, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And when you hate sin, you will have joy of the Lord. It goes together. Sin and joy can't coexist. And you know, Jesus gave us the Beatitudes. And when you have all those Beatitudes, you have the joy. And in Acts 20:32, it says, it's more blessed to give than to receive. The more you learn to give and serve and bless the others, you have joy, because as long as you're thinking about yourself, you're not joyful. Keep always thinking, how can I give? How can I serve? How can I bless? And I want to close with this verse, Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3. It's a lovely verse. This came home to my heart this week in a fresh way, Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3. He says, therefore, with joy shall he draw water of the wells of salvation. Have you thought about this verse? Lovely verse. Therefore, with joy shall he draw water of the wells of salvation. Like one brother said, God's given us many wells. You can draw from them. What you need this morning? Are you sick this morning? I believe the Lord wants to give you healing. Are you having financial problems? God's got enough resources to give you to meet all your needs. Maybe you got problems in your family. I want to say this morning, you can draw from the well of salvation. Whatever is your problem, you can draw from the resources of God to meet your needs. And with joy, you can draw and receive grace and help so that you can become a happy, joyful brother and sister. And I hope this end of this year, December 2015, as I often say, don't come back and say, oh brother, I was unfaithful, but God's faithful. You should be able to say, God's given me the oil of gladness. He has made me rejoice in all my trials, and all my gloom and sorrow has disappeared from my life. He has made me a joyful brother in the Lord. I want to say, it's a fantastic work God wants to do in our lives. That Jesus said, your joy no man can take away. Oh may God do such a deep, powerful work in us so that you can be such a happy, joyful brother that you're strong in the Lord. I believe the reason why many of us are not strong is you don't have joy in the Lord. May the Lord fill your heart with joy that can transform your life and that you can become a strong brother and sister in the Lord. Can I hear amen this morning?
Amen.
Yeah, only some people believe, I see. Yeah, we want to sing a song. The after that we'll hear with a chance.
Many a time when we hear God's word from the pulpit here about taking up the cross and dying to self, now, sometimes some people can get into some kind of gloom and discouragement and depression and may lose their joy. You know, I was just looking at the concordance the other day to see how many times Jesus spoke about the cross. You know, I was surprised that he spoke only two times. In Matthew, two times in Mark, and two times in Luke, and no mention in John. Only about six times he spoke about carrying the cross and following him. And then I looked for a word, dying to self or dying with Jesus. There's hardly any mention in the Gospels. Jesus hardly mentioned that. When I was thinking, how come then? Of course, there is a stress and an importance of that. But much more than that, there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repents, it says. In all the parables that Jesus spoke about, sinners coming back to this thing, there is joy. In fact, it's in one of the translations, it says, heaven throws a party when a sinner repents. You know, heaven rejoices over a sinner who repents. So then why do we go through such gloom? There is absolutely no need for any gloom for a Christian. Discouragement or depression. A Christian is supposed to be a living advertisement of joy unspeakable and full of glory. I used to get so much encouraged when I was first coming to CFC way back in the 80s, and I used to look at Brother Newton's face always. He was all the time so joyful and so happy and rejoicing, and also other brothers. And you know, that is the mark of a Christian. He is not going around with a long face, gloomy, discouraged, depressed. Oh, I need to carry the cross. I need to die daily. Yes, of course we need to die daily to our self-will. That is what is called dying to self or carrying the cross. But that's not all. The gospel is that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we didn't deserve His love, He loved us. And He loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes on Him should never perish but have everlasting life. So God's love is so great that in spite of all our mess, He comes to us asking for the love of a poor heart. You know, when God created Adam and Eve, they were some of the most joyful people that ever lived on the face of the earth, the first couple. And that place where they lived was called the Garden of Eden. You know what is the meaning of Eden? Anybody? Eden means pleasure, delight, or pleasantness. God didn't put them in a garden of, you know, prison or something like that, surrounded by angels, you know, trying to protect them. There was no angel to protect them. The devil came freely, tempted them. God had given them such freedom that they could go any corner of this thing. And they had such joy and liberty and gladness in their heart that the very garden was called the Garden of the Lord, the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Pleasure, the Garden of Delight. And we read in that verse, in thy presence is fullness of joy. We have seen many times the presence of God. Isaiah saw the presence of God and then he cried out because he got convicted. Even the beloved disciple John, when he had a vision on the Isle of Patmos, when he saw the Lord in all His glory, mind you, this was the disciple who always used to, you know, lie in the bosom of Jesus Christ. He had such liberty and he loved the Lord so much. He always used to be in the bosom of the Lord. And this man, when he saw the Lord, same Lord Jesus Christ, when he came in all his glory and appeared to him, he fell down at his feet like a dead man. Even Daniel, when he saw an angel, just an angel, mind you, two, three times the angel appeared to him, and every time he fell down and he felt like there was no strength left in him. You see, there is a place for reverence for God. There is a place we need to honor Him that way. But there is also joy in the presence of the Lord. Just like we saw in Psalm 16 verse 8. There is joy in the presence of the Lord. And at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Maybe you could turn to one more verse in Psalm 21 along the same line. Psalm 21, verse 6, it says, we can see again what is there in the presence of the Lord. For thou dost make him more blessed forever, most blessed forever. Thou dost make him joyful with gladness in thy presence. What is in the presence of the Lord? It is joyfulness and gladness in his presence. There are no long-faced people in the presence of God. I hope you know that. There's tremendous joy in heaven. Because of that, they shout to such an extent that it says like the shout of, like the voice of many waters. Some of you who live in coastal areas where you sometimes hear the roaring of the sea. In the middle of the sea also you will be hearing that roar of the sea. It will be like that in heaven, the joy. There is joy in the presence of God, and in history there you read of only one man who ever told his disciples or his followers, the joy that I have I give unto you, so that your joy may be full. And mind you, this is the man who is going to be crucified the next day morning. The previous evening he is telling his disciples, the joy that I have, I give it to you, that your joy may be full. Not like the world I give it unto you. Even the peace he was talking about, he was not disturbed. He had peace like a river. The peace I will leave with you, peace which the world cannot give you, not the way that the world give you that peace, but the peace that I give you, nobody can take away. It cannot be disturbed by any external circumstances. We also read in Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You see, there is an inherent quality of strength in joy. When you're gloomy, even your immune system goes down and your health gets deteriorated. But when you're on your sick bed, you hear some good news or you have a spurt of joy. You know, it is like a booster shot that is given to you. There is inherent joy, inherent strength in joy. That's why the Lord promises, the joy that I give unto you, the world cannot take that away. Not like the world gives. Many young people find their joy in, you know, having fun and party with friends. Brother, how long it lasts? Till the party lasts. Then you have hangovers. Then you have guilt feelings. Then you sometimes wonder, why did I go in the first place there? Some people come back and vomit and make mess of their bedroom and all that. That's not the joy that Jesus spoke of. This is the joy that nobody can take away from you and the world cannot give you. It comes straight from the heart of God, from the throne of God. You know, we read that verse in Acts 13:52, that the disciples were continually filled with joy. They were continually filled with joy. And the gospel is the good news of joy. And Jesus is the author of joy. And we saw that the secret to attain to this joy is written in Hebrews 1:9. Hebrews 1:9. Some of you know this verse. It talks about Jesus, that he hated iniquity and loved righteousness. Because of that, God, even your God, it says, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. That means above every human being. Jesus was the only person on this earth who was full of joy all his life, even just before going to the cross. So he's calling us to follow him and have that joy in us all the time, not just when we have good food, not when we have increment or promotion or some good news, good things happen to us. But all the time, good or bad, it makes no difference. My joy is unaffected by these things. And one translation says about, maybe you can read that in Zechariah 8:5. Zechariah 8:5, it speaks about the prosperity of Zion. No, I'm sorry. It's in Isaiah. Isaiah 66, verse 12. This is about joy in Jerusalem's future. For thus says the Lord, behold, I extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream, and you shall be nursed, and you shall be carried on the hip, and fondled on the knees. One translation says, I will bounce you on my knees. Have you seen mothers, fathers bouncing their children on their knees? They sit on the chair and the kids come and sit on their lap and they bounce them. How joyful the child will be. God says, I will do that to you. I'll bounce you on my knees. See, God is not a terrible taskmaster. He is not somebody whom you cannot approach. No. When the prodigal son came, the father came running. When the prodigal son maybe was just dragging his feet and wondering whether my father will accept me or he'll kick me out. But when he saw him coming there, he ran, it says. He ran and hugged him. Without even noticing how badly he was smelling and how tattered his garments, his clothes were. He just ran and hugged him and kissed him and did all that he could to restore him back to sonship. He just wanted to come to fill his stomach to be one of his servants. But God, the Father was the picture of God, gave him back his sonship. And that verse in what I was referring to, Zechariah 8:5. You know, sometimes we wonder what we will do in the presence of God. This is a clear picture as to what God expects of us, especially of children. We think when children go into the presence of the Lord, we expect them to behave themselves and to be a little more solemn and serious. But you know what it says in verse 5? This again is the prosperity of Zion, the coming peace and prosperity of Zion. Zechariah 8:5, it says, and the streets of the city will be filled with boys and girls praying. We would put it that way, but the word says here, boys and girls playing in its street before the presence of the Lord. How do you like it? God has given that instinct to children. From childhood, they enjoy playing. That's how they grow and develop. Even God in Zion also, it says, He wants children to be playing, not kneeling down and praying. Playing. Yeah, our God is such a good God. He is not angry with you, my dear brothers and sisters. For that, I'll just give you one verse. It says, while we were yet sinners, fit candidates for hell, Christ died for sinners. When we rightly deserved his punishment, Jesus took that punishment on him and he said, let him go, take me instead. That is the gospel. That should thrill our hearts all the time. And one last verse in Jude 1:24, we saw that in the last week's memory verse, it says, unto him who is able to present you before the Father with great joy, without any blemish or any such thing like that, to him be the glory, honor, power and praise now and forever, it says. With him, in his presence, with great joy, he will present us one day. May we be ready for that with joyfulness, not with long faces. Amen.
It says in Galatians chapter 5, 16, the fruit of the Spirit, amongst many other things, is joy. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. God works and works and works in you, and the result is, there is deep joy in your life. If you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life, and that's what you will get. Galatians 5 verse 22. So fruit of the Spirit is not only love, joy. And let the Holy Spirit work in your lives and you will become a happy person. And you will no longer be the same. Amen?